Yam yasayat mika buddhir. Buddhir. Ekeha kuru nandana.
Ekeha kuru nandana.
Bahushaka hyanantas cha. Bahushaka hyanantas cha. Buddhayo vyavasayinam. Vyavasayat mika buddhir. Ekeha kuru nandana. Bahushaka hyanantascha. Buddhayo vyavasayinam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called Vyayasika Mikar intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitamrita states, Shraddha Shapte Vishwas Kohe Sudridha Nishchai Krishne Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. Faith means unflinching trust in something. That's a nice definition. Faith means unflinching trust. It cannot be shaken in something sublime. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna consciousness, he need not act in relationship to the material world with obligations to family traditions, humanity or nationality. Fruitive activities are the engagements of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, like all the devotees now in the Bhaktivedanta Mena, oh, sorry, this is not there. Some of them are sleeping, so I have to start again. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he need no longer endeavor for good results in his activities. No, when one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, for they are no longer subject to dualities like good and bad. In other words, in Krishna consciousness, that's what Prabhupada here says, is all activities are spiritual, and nothing what happens to you there can be called exactly it's bad, and it's also not good, it's blissful. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. Now Prabhupada will talk about someone who is on this path. He will say that those who are on this path have a very rarely seen type of determination. Please listen, it is quite interesting. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudeva savamiti samahatma sudhulabha. A person in Krishna consciousness is the rare good soul who knows perfectly well the Vasudeva or Krishna is the root of all manifested causes. It means whatever happens here to you, it is caused by Krishna. As by watering the root of a tree, one automatically distributes water to the leaves and branches, so by acting in Krishna consciousness, one can render the highest service to everyone. namely self, family, society, country, humanity. If Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everyone will be satisfied. Let us hear this again. If Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everyone will be satisfied. Service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. As such, to be well versed in Krishna consciousness, one has to act firmly and obey the representative of Krishna. And one should accept the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master as one's mission in life. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur instructs us in his famous prayers for the spiritual master as follows. Kindly join me in this prayer. Many of you know. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. Yasya pasada nagati kutopi tayam stuvam stasya yashasti sandhyam pandi guroshi charanaravindam. By satisfaction of the spiritual master, the supreme personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And by not satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy 3 times a day and offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. Now Prabhupada says, what is the condition for such spiritual determination? He says, the whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body, not theoretically but practically. Now you have to understand, I'm a soul, I'm not the body. This is the fundament. When there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities, one who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive acts. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishnaya Smutale Sivate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavani Paskatyane Satanine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Ganadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here's the Krishna speaks about those who follow the path of Krishna consciousness. He says that they are focused. Their aim is one. And those who are not able to focus like this will find out that their irresolution, that has many branches. Now let us hear patiently the verse. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. I would like to ask all of you this evening a question. Have you experienced that you had a good idea and a good purpose, a good resolve? But when you set out to realize your idea, you've found that you became weak-hearted and couldn't really follow up on your deeper intentions. Do you know this, the thing? We really resolve, let us say, we want to fast on a holiday, but then, feel so hungry, and then there are these English cookies also there, and we find, or we decide, henceforward I will be more serious in my spiritual life. I will get up earlier to have some time for my spiritual practice, but then the alarm clock comes and you feverishly look for a pistol to shoot the alarm clock, and don't act upon your determination. I think we all know what it is, and we sometimes wish we would be more strong-hearted and our resolve would be more firm. But there's something in us which we can not easily overcome, some attraction to something else. There's a verse in the Vedic scripture which says, I set out to look for something in the east, but alas, I turned around and went towards the west. Hare Krishna. Why is this so? It is because of attachments, or to put it in a more psychological way, we have been following our material desires for so long and therefore have developed strong habits. It's very difficult for us to break those habits. And it's very difficult to change and take to the new path with determination. There's a saying in India that it is easier to move the Himalayas for 1 meter. That's very difficult, I think. But it's easier to move the Himalayas for 1 meter than to change a person's character. It's so hard because these habits have become really insurmountable. And so on. There are many prayers in the scriptures where devotees have expressed their heart to Krishna. They said, my dear Lord, it's so very difficult to change one's conditioned nature. I think only by your mercy this is possible. Especially in the beginning of one's spiritual path, it takes so much strength to change from one's old ways to the new ways, which one has recognized as being more advantageous for one's life. My dear devotees and my dear friends, do you know when a space shuttle burns most of its fuel? It's when it shoots up and wants to escape the gravitational field of the Earth, where a space shuttle burns 80% of its fuel. 80%! Then once it's in its orbit, it can just float around the Earth with 10 to 15% of the fuel. In much the same way, it takes so much strength and so much force to leave one's old gravitational field, if you so want, or one's old habits. Mighty boy, you should get drink some water. Jai Krishna, you can give our little boy. It will help the cough to go down. We will give you some water. Yes. So that is a knowledge. There is a lot of research done on this, but I won't bore you because we want to have a solution. No, you are not disturbing. Why? You drink some water. I'm genuinely concerned about your welfare, and you think I want to throw you out? Is this? No, he's a little bewildered. He should drink some water. Yes. Yes. Is it too hot? Is it too hot? So, my dear devotees, there's something which can help you to move out of your old habits or your undesirable habits. Something which has a lot of power. It is called in Sanskrit a sankalpa. And I would like to explain a little bit what is a sankalpa, and then we will do at the end of this lecture a little exercise where I will guide you into finding your own sankalpa, your own inner resolve, so to say, so that you will be strong when you leave this our temple this evening, and you will see a tremendous improvement in your spiritual life. Is this a good program? Good. What is a sankalpa? According to the Vedic understanding, every substantial effort or undertaking, you could say, starts with a sankalpa or a resolve. A resolve means I resolve this, I want to do this. Sankalpa, in its true meaning, is more than a fleeting desire. Where today I might like to go to King Street, and tomorrow I might like to go to Oxford Street. No, it's something which is on a deeper level than the surface of your psychology. It is defined as a solemn promise to one's inner conviction. So if I should give you a definition of a sankalpa is a declaration of intent to the Lord, who upon becoming aware of the individual sankalpa sets the material reality into motion so that the sankalpa is fulfilled, provided the sankalpa comes from the deeper core of one's being. I know this sounds absolutely theoretical. I will explain everything very easy. Stay with me. Okay. I would like to give you a few examples of where a sankalpa is taken. The most well-known example in our Gaudiya Sampradaya is the initiation. At that time, the spiritual master will request the young disciple to make a sankalpa right there at the initiation fire, the Yagyakund. He will ask, how many rounds will you chant? And the disciple will say, 16 rounds. How will you chant it? The disciple will answer, I will try to avoid the 10 offenses. It's like a sankalpa, an inner orientation, which, and I want to say this again, is more than a fleeting desire. It's something which comes from the core, the essence, and it is done when one is in contact with one's spiritual center, you can say, with one's real conviction. I would like to give you a second example where a sankalpa is made. It is made at the outset or the beginning of a sacred pilgrimage. The pilgrim is aware that there will be some obstacles to be surmounted on the way. For instance, he starts in Kathmandu to make a pilgrimage to Mountain Kailash. Who of you has made that difficult pilgrimage? Please raise your hand that I have. Oh, you don't go on pilgrimage here? It's a very intense pilgrimage. In old times, people would sometimes leave their bodies when they came in valleys where there were landslides and so on. So at the beginning of such a difficult undertaking, the pilgrim sits down, maybe he has a fire sacrifice, he's in a temple, and he makes a sankalpa. It is my sincere desire to go to the sacred mountain of Kailash. And I pray for the support of the Lord to reach. Before making a sankalpa, it's important that you think about it deeply and that you make sure it comes from a deeper place. During marriage, for instance, it is advised that the young couple makes a sankalpa. They say, I will take care of you both materially and spiritually, and never will there be any separation between us. It's a deep declaration of intention. It is known there will be difficulties when she starts nagging and he starts controlling, but there is this deeper connection to what is most, what is very important to the to participants in this marriage adventure, and they make this sankalpa, praying also for the support of the Lord when the weakness of the heart comes and the doubts come, so that one can go and make and become successful. You know, when a person thinks something, anything, there is a firing of millions of neurons, they are called, so that this moves. I would like to give you an example. I will now decide, what should I decide? To lift my arm. At this moment, there's a huge chemical reaction going on, biochemical reaction. My neurons are firing. Can you see the arm is moving? I don't look, but it's moving up. It's. I really don't know how it does it, but it's moved up. In the same analogous way, when you make a sankalpa, a deep determination, then listen to this, the whole universe is set into motion to help you reach it. There is a verse in the Katha Upanishad which sheds a little light on how this works. Some of you, I think, have knowing this verse. I will sing it for you. Nityo nityananam cetanas cetananam eko bahunam yo vidadhati kaman. Amongst all those who are eternal, there's one supreme eternal. And amongst all those who have consciousness, there's one supreme consciousness. Now, since time immemorial, this supreme Lord is engaged in fulfilling the desires of the many souls. Let us be make it very clear, is when a person gets or makes contact with a deeper inner resolve, at that time that is noticed by the Supreme Soul, who then starts to arrange the world in such a way that the Sankalpa is fulfilled. And philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson expressed it like this: we lie in the lap of a vast cosmic intelligence which provides each one of our needs. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, if you learn to apply this shloka, that is, where Krishna says, those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. If you can become resolute in purpose and focus your many, many, many thoughts on one aim, then the Lord will pick that up, you know, like a person can pick up the fragrance of a rose. In the same way, the Lord who's next to you in your heart will pick up your inner resolve, your determination, provided you are focused and you are like this. And then he will make arrangements. How can he make arrangements? The Lord explains in the Gita, Maya Jakshena Prakriti Suyate Chacharacharam. It means the whole material cosmos is working under my Aksha. Aksha means my eyes or my supervision. And the Lord is therefore able to make the right arrangements for you. Hare Krishna. I'm from a family of trained people, and my father was once in charge of the Hamburg main train station, and he told me that it requires a lot of coordination to see that the incoming trains come to the right track where the passengers can disembark and new can join. And it must be so precise, because if the trains, there are so many coming and going in a huge main train station, if they are not directed in the proper way, they will collide, and it can be very dangerous. People can lose their lives when trains collide. So it takes a lot of coordination, but it is possible to do this. So the whole world is coordinated by the Supreme Lord, by Krishna, who directs the wandering of all living entities. Just see, there are now two of our devotees who need to go home. They will now approach the door. It is actually the Lord who directs them, only 1.50 meters, 1.50 meters, and jump, you made it. Hare Krishna, come good home. So the Lord is directing the wanderings of all these living entities since time immemorial, and he takes care that they don't collide on their way home. This is a practical practical knowledge. The Lord has this super consciousness or supreme consciousness to not lose track of any one of us and somehow put us on the right track. This is how it works. And he becomes aware what you want. I feel that for many of us, we have a problem. We are not focused. We don't really know what we want. We just go around in our lives, milling around, passing our time in some way, waiting for the next meal to arrive, and so on. It is important for us to not only become aware of a purpose in our life, but to pray to the Lord to help us that this resolve is picked up by Him, and that He takes care that this will work. I remember once I sat here in this temple, and there was one elderly sannyasi, His Holiness Mahavishnu Maharaj from Gujarat. Some of you know him? Is Maharaj still with us, or has he left? He is Goloka. Goloka. So Maharaji, Mahavishnu Maharaj, had just come from India, and he had arrived in Heathrow Airport, and he had come right here to the temple to deliver a class, and then after the class he was would eat a little prasad, then rest. And he said something I can never forget. He said, if I say I have come here, it is wrong. But Maharaj, you will say, you have arrived safely from India, you have traveled, and you have made a long journey just to come here. But it is wrong. It is so wrong. Krishna has brought me here. That is the right understanding. I have not created the airplanes. I have not created my body even. I have not created my mind even. But I had a desire to come here, and Krishna made all the arrangements so that I safely arrived here. I never forgot how he said this very philosophical principle which we hear in the Vedas, that we cannot do much. We can only desire. The rest is up to God. Really, the rest, and I mean the details, the movements of the legs, of the arms, of the airplanes, the cars, everything. We can only desire. So a sankalpa is a desire behind a desire. It is, in other words, the deepest desire. If you come in contact with that and you are aware, then that sankalpa will be fulfilled by the Lord. Therefore, when you make a sankalpa, you should learn how to do it. I always say, focus and then let go. It's like in archery. Is that the English word? I take my arrow connected with a string. Then I draw the bow and the string. I take aim. Oh yes, I want to shoot that light there to create a dramatic effect. And then I let go, and sometimes if I focus nicely, it will reach. So in the same way, when you make a sankalpa, you should aim properly, but then you should let go, because this needs to now be fulfilled by Krishna's mercy and by Krishna's arrangement. I first learned about sankalpa on Braj Mandal Parikram. It's a difficult pilgrimage through Vrindavan. for something like 360 kilometers. I don't know how this is and how much that is in British miles. I think like 250 British miles. The path takes one through fields, forests. It takes one over tarmac covered roads, pebble roads, and thorny roads. And you have to ideally do this parikrama bare feet. Now, our Western feet are a little soft. We have not much of this. What is it called?
Callus.
Thank you. Callus?
Callus?
Mm-hmm. Callus. We don't have a lot of callus. And when our soft feet are going over these sharp stones, and we are exposed to difficult climates and climate change, so cold it is in Vrindavan in the evening, in the morning, and so hot in the day, then this is a serious challenge. But the pilgrim is advised to do it by taking a sankalpa in Mathura, where the Brajmandal Parikrama starts. He takes a bath in the Yamuna, and then he makes this sankalpa. I would like, for the glorification of Sri Krishna, make the circumambulation of Brajadham. And there, I noticed, I have soft feet, they're as soft as the petal of a rose. No, this is not a good analogy. I never go barefoot in the West, I thought I never make it, but somehow it worked. I put the sankalpa and I was carried. There is one friend of mine, he's a professor, David Haberman, and he wrote a letter from this parikrama, just so that you know how difficult it is. He wrote it to his wife. He said, "What I would give to be with you in some cool room in Kathmandu. I'm so worried. I have just come back from taking a bath in a slimy green pond. What diseases lurk there? How will I ever keep clean? I tried to wash my dhoti, but it became brown. It is only our second day out, and already the soles of both of my feet are covered with blisters. I have several blisters between my toes, and my shoes are bloody from veering into my heels. How will I ever be able to walk over 200 miles? Not 250, 200 miles. My trusted guide has abandoned me the very first day and left me in the care of his younger brother and friends. Welcome to India. Who are cooking for a group of Bengalis. I am to eat with these Bengalis, but how will I survive their cooking? It's so extremely spicy, mustard seed and all. It's beyond me." And then, exasperated, he ends his letter. He doesn't say so nice. He said, "Heaven with it." He has another word for it. We are in a temple. We should express everything properly. Listen, either I'm going to get into it or get out of it. I cannot stay like this. I'm going now for my camera, and I will talk with these people, take my bath, and eat with the Bengalis. It's difficult. But if you spend some time getting in contact with your inner resolve, why you do this, you want to come close to Krishna, then you will find it is very, very easy. A person who is in contact with his or her sankalpa, evokes powers beyond himself. That's very important. If you are in contact with this powerful inner resolve, you will get in contact with something which is beyond your own self. Therefore, it's so important to connect your sankalpa with Krishna. And then the idea is, let him do everything. You do your best and Krishna will do the rest. The sankalpa, he will take care of you through your sankalpa. Yes. So I wanted now to guide you in a little exercise where you can go and get in contact with your sankalpa, connect with it, and then have it for the rest of the day and the rest of and for as long as you can keep in contact, and then you can make an experience of this. Is this a good idea?
Yes.
Good. Then let me, before doing this, see. We have now, in my time, 20 minutes to 9. Is this correct? When will the curtain open to the deities? 9 o'clock. Well, then I suggest we do the following. We do our little sankalpa exercise now, and then when the deity opens, we will seal the sankalpa with a nice ketan. Is this a... This is our project. Makanlal, you are ready? Good. Makanlal is ready. Damodar, you are ready? Good. Good. When you want to form a sankalpa, you must go deep until you access that which lies beyond the superficial layers of your psyche. Let me give you an example. You all have come to the temple tonight, and it is a little more crowded maybe than you expected, and you were asked to move together, and you know, sitting left and right are other persons. Now imagine it would be thrice as crowded. Now it's still, I think, very cozy and comfortable, but if it's thrice as crowded or fourth as crowded, four times more crowded, it could get a little uncomfortable. And because it is so could be so uncomfortable, superficially you would maybe have a desire, oh, this is really too crowded. Let me get out of here and smell the nice British fresh air, and so on. At that time, you could, however, do something else. You could connect with the deeper desire. The deeper desire is you came to the temple to in some ways feel closer to Krishna and feel an increase in your Krishna consciousness. And by connecting with this deeper desire, you would be easily able to tolerate the crowded atmosphere, because you have another purpose. You are not here for a sitting comfort. That is not your aim that you have at home with your nice sitting arrangements and the cozy chairs and whatnot, the couches. No, you are here for something else. And by becoming aware of this, you can tolerate quite easy. My dear devotees, this is a simple example. I can tell you from my own life, I was often in difficult situations. For instance, I remember distributing transcendental literatures of Srila Prabhupada in the cold winter of Hamburg. Hamburg is as, let me say, thrice as aggressive as London, as far as the people are concerned, there. And it is very, very cold. Oh, so cold. Ooh, much too cold in the winter. And I was thinking, why? Oh, these people are so cold, and the weather is so cold, and I'm here, and they are there, and can I not just go behind a good, find a good radiator, and spend some time in the association of the radiator, not the people, and. But then I thought, no, I am not a comfort lover in the first place. I am here to assist my spiritual master to reach people with the deep messages of Krishna consciousness. Let me continue. So these are just some examples how a sankalpa is something which is in the deeper level of your personality, and when you are in contact with it, you can easily overcome the flimsy or changing things on your superficial area of your consciousness. This is very important to understand. Sankalpa always is a determination which comes from the core or the essence of your being, and which helps you to deal with the challenges which happen on the way. Good. I will now guide you. Let me just put my little orchestra here on. I would like to request you to find a relatively comfortable sitting position. We want to sit tall, or our spine should be straight if possible. Maybe we can ask some of the merciful souls amongst you to open the window, that we have some good amount of oxygen. It's free, as long as it's still free, we can just have a good dose of it. You laugh, but in Tokyo you have to pay for fresh air. Do you know this? So let us, because we want to be both relaxed but incredibly aware for this exercise. When you're, please look a little bit around, because I will soon ask you to close your eyes. When you're ready, please become calm. Close your eyes. I'm sure you had a very eventful day, but we will now leave the day a little bit like some of you left your cars on the parking area. And we will just be now here in the temple. It's a very good atmosphere. We are with like-minded people, and we are wanting to come a little bit deeper to the deeper layers in our personality. Bring your attention now to your ingoing breath. Whenever you breathe in, become aware that you are breathing in. You're perfectly safe. Whenever you exhale, become aware that you are now exhaling. Let us do a few rounds of conscious breathing. Kindly focus your attention now into the heart area. With each inhale, bring your attention a little bit more to the heart area. When you breathe in, see within your mind a pleasant light. When you breathe in, it seems the light becomes a little bit more intense. Breathe in light. There should be a bright light appearing in your heart more and more. More and more light in the heart, brightness. Whenever you breathe out, this light spreads through your body. Very positive energy. Now connect with the bigger picture of your life. You are really an eternal soul, a part of Sri Krishna. You're in the body, but you're not the body. You're an eternal part of the Lord. Much like a spark who's happily dancing in a fire. Search now for something which is sacred to you, a resolve, a determination to live more in your Dharma. I will help you by reading a few incomplete affirmations which you need to complete. In my life, I wish to be more determined to do, and now fill in what you wish to do. Go to the deeper part of yourself. I will do my best in my life and let the Supreme Lord do the rest. There might be hard times in my life, but I will stay encouraged and enthusiastic. Because if I practice my own Dharma, my own inner resolve, that which is truly important for me, there's only gain in my life. You might end this session with a little prayer, a prayer where we will ask the Lord to help us to stay connected with our inner true nature, and that desire, that inner resolve, which should be the fundament of our life. We will also start now with a nice soft kirtan, which will help us to seal the sankalpa.